Welcome to NExpress, the official Nintendo podcast of SoundOnSite.org. Not for long, however, as we are changing our name and updating our site tremendously. Should be a lot of fun. Hope you guys stick around for that. But why don't we go ahead and get right into Nintendosage, our first segment, where we cover the weekly news that Nintendo has dropped. Yeah, we have a lot to talk about this week, whether it be release dates or potential deals that Nintendo is making. There's a lot to talk about. Why don't we go ahead and start with some of the release dates or even games being released? Pokken Tournament is officially coming to Wii U, and I could not be happier.
There was no way it wouldn't.
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing. When I wrote up my article on SoundInsight.org a while back about my predictions for 2016 and E3 and whatnot, I said Pokken Tournament will come out in 2016 because a lot of people were saying if it came to the Wii U, it would have to wait till 2017 because of some sort of like contract where they have to keep their game exclusive to arcades for like a year or two. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, at that point, it wouldn't really make sense because it would just move on to the NX. I was like, no, this game's going to hit the Wii U. But here's the thing. That's a huge game, okay? Because it's basically like a fighting game made by Bandai Namco.
Namco Bandai.
That's what I said.
The same guys who made Tekken, that's why it's called Pokken.
Same guys who made Smash, the Smash for Wii U.
Mm.
Of course, Smash is a huge game. So here's the thing. So that's a huge game to announce. But they're announcing this game to get released on the Wii U when they just announced at the beginning of the year that they're going to be releasing a new console called the NX.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you guys is, okay, we know we have Pokken Tournament coming out. We know we have Super Mario Maker coming out. We know we have the new Legend of Zelda coming out. And there's a few more games like Yoshi's Woolly World, Xenoblade Chronicles X, the new Star Fox, which a lot of people aren't crazy about, but whatever. Do you think it's too late to recommend to someone to buy a Wii U, considering that the NX could be out sooner than later?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, just relist all those games over again, plus the backline of all other games. Like, that's a ton on the Wii U. It has a really solid library. It gets a lot of crap, but I stand by all the library I already have. It's a justified purchase. Plus, with all these games coming out, like, the highlight of my Wii U is probably going to be Zelda, and that's not even here yet. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's already a justified purchase. So with Pokken Tournament adding to the huge library that the Wii U has of just exclusives from Nintendo, it's definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, it's still definitely worthwhile now, and especially that we don't have any real concrete news about the NX. I mean, it could come out in, what, 3-4 years? Who knows? So why not go get the Wii U? And chances are, if you do get the Wii U now, and the NX does eventually come out, it's guaranteed going to be backwards compatible, so there's really no fear there.
Well, we don't know. See, that's the big question mark.
Yeah, but they're not going to start now and say, like, no, we're not going to do a backwards compatible. They've done it since forever.
Yeah, but they need a touchscreen. I mean, that's the thing about the Wii U. It comes with a gamepad. And if they want to eliminate the gamepad, which Miyamoto is hinting at, then how could it be backwards compatible?
They'll figure out something. I don't know. They've always got, like, a card up their sleeve, you know, to make sure that everything streamlines together some way, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, even 3DS compatibility would cover the touchscreen.
Mm, exactly. I mean, it's something that we talked about, too, in the past podcast about, like, having the DS being an extra controller.
Well, you know, I was just talking about how I can't play Super Mario Sunshine because I don't have a GameCube anymore, which, I mean, mind you, I want to go out and buy a GameCube. I was actually browsing eBay yesterday. Mm-hmm. But we are going to be reviewing Super Mario Sunshine next week as part of our look back on the Mario series. And I'm like, the game's not even available on the Wii U and or the Wii and or it was only released for the GameCube, but I'm leading to something here. But the thing is, it's like with Super Mario 64, a game that I just finished and I'm still playing. I'm sorry, I went back to it after our review last week and I'm still playing Super Mario 64. I mean, even just the old library is worth it. But you're right, Tim. There are enough new games to justify the price of $250.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario Maker, The Legend of Zelda, Pokken Tournament, plus the games we already have, not to mention a few more games getting released, I think it's well worth it. I was talking about this on the podcast. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but I was talking to you, Aaron, about this. What most people don't realize is they purchase so many games, like, for example, people who play video games on Steam on their PC, mm-hmm. they purchase so many games and they never get around to playing these games. It's just like a library of games that just sits in your computer and you never actually play it. Mm-hmm. Like, it pulls you in because the prices are so cheap. Mm-hmm. And so you figure, oh, I'm going to buy this game because it's so cheap. And then you buy like six games and you realize that you don't even have time to play these six games. You know, and so the thing with the Wii U is, when I buy a game for the Wii U, I actually sit down and play that game from start to finish. You yeah. know, there's a few games I still have not yet completed, like the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze game. But that's because it's super hard. I have to go back and, you know, give it another shot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't think it's too late to buy a Wii U. But I think if you are going to buy a Wii U, you got to buy the Wii U now in September, because something else I predicted.
Mario Maker bundle.
Yeah, they are going to release the Super Mario Maker bundle, which comes with an exclusive 8-bit Mario amiibo, which kind of has me a little pissed off for many reasons.
eBay. Just go on eBay. Someone's
selling. No, no, no. You don't understand. Okay. I want just the box.
You just want the box?
The actual box. Yeah. Like, okay. For example, when I was browsing eBay and I was trying to find a GameCube that I want to buy. Mm-hmm. But if I buy the GameCube, I actually want the GameCube to come with the box. It could be open, it could be used, but I want the box with the GameCube. I want the whole package. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at the Super Mario Wii U bundle, and the box is so beautiful. And it comes with Super Mario Maker, and it comes with the 8-bit Mario amiibo. Part of me wants to buy it, just to buy it, even though I already own a Wii U.
Well, with any luck, maybe someone's going to sell the box on eBay.
Yeah, I've seen weirder things.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen ridiculous things being sold on eBay, so it's like, is it really a long stretch? Who knows?
Did you know that they actually sell the boxes for the amiibo on eBay? Like, I'm talking about an empty box, like no amiibo really? Inside, just the actual box? Yeah, they do. I actually wanted to purchase the Earthbound Super NES box. But it's like $55.
How much? What?
$55.
For an empty box?
Yeah, the game itself is like about $2,000. This is a game I own. I know I own this game. I just don't know where it is. I don't know if someone stole it. I don't know if my nephews took it. It's driving me nuts just not knowing where it is, because it's like, you know, it's my favorite game, maybe of all time. We reviewed it on the show way back when. But yeah, so... Yeah, if you're going to buy a Wii U, I mean, if you're listening to the show, chances are you have a Wii U, right? But if you want to convince your friends and their family members to buy a Wii U, they got to buy it in September.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and list some of the dates of games that are coming out that Nintendo just announced to fully convince everyone that it's worthwhile. We have Super Mario Maker has already been confirmed for September 11th, mm-hmm. and that's also the date of the amiibo.
With 100 levels.
With 100 levels.
More levels than any previous Mario game. It also comes with the Mystery Mushroom, which apparently unlocks 70 bonus features.
No, it unlocks 100 bonus features, and there are 70 compatible amiibo.
Oh, so there you go. So basically, every single one of your amiibo will work with Super Mario Maker. So imagine playing a Mario game, but you are the villager, and or the Wii Fit Trainer, and or Little Mac.
Do we know
list everyone that no one else has?
Do we know
all the ones that we can't get?
Do we know if we can play as Ryu? Let's say if you buy a Ryu amiibo and play him in Super Mario.
The thing is, they've released the game to outlets and to critics, but you can't go out and release specific information until the embargo date
is
lifted. And so, because the embargo date is lifted, no one can really talk about it. But some people are talking about it, but not, you know, to the public.
Yeah, presumably because. How many amiibo are there right now? Yeah.
What I know is that it doesn't even matter if you own the amiibo or not.
Okay, so wait, I'm not forced to buy amiibos.
No, and I think all characters are unlockable via the game.
No, but I think if you want to unlock the character and create a level in which someone can, say, play with Little Mac, then you would need Little Mac. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to create the level. So if you want to create the level and you're like, okay, in this level, it's going to be dedicated to Little Mac and so players can play with Little Mac, you would need, I think, the Little Mac amiibo to unlock the Little Mac feature in order to create the level with Little Mac. But I wouldn't have to go out and buy Little Mac to play your level with Little Mac.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that saves me a few pennies, I guess.
So since we're talking about amiibo, we have a lot of other release dates to talk about, but why don't we go ahead
and shift right into the amiibo release dates and discussions, because there's a lot there too.
Ugh.
So like I'm gonna stay calm when I'm just gonna list all the dates. I'm gonna stay calm about it. Beginning with September 11th, we have the Pixel Mario amiibo. Then on October 16th, we have Yarn Yoshi releasing with Yoshi's Woolly World. On November 1st, we have the three Mii Fighters released in a package together. And then on November 13th, we have Mewtwo coming out. I don't know if there's anything else coming out on that day, but I know Mewtwo's coming out on that day. Then on the 15th, 2 days later, we have Mega Yarn Yoshi, which is the biggest amiibo there will probably ever be, which is a giant stuffed Yoshi.
Does it take and over then, like your whole controller or something?
It's like his foot touches the point. And then 5 days later, with the release of Star Fox, we have Falco. That does not include the next wave of amiibo, which I don't even remember when that is.
Well, there's Rob.
They're on a separate day as well. Like, it's like wave six or whatever we're on, and then Rob, Duck Hunt, and Mr. Game & Watch, like, 2 days later or something like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. So last week, like on Wednesday, it was the day after we recorded our podcast, I decided to drive by Toys R Us because, you know, I was passing by Toys R Us. I'm going to stop in and check out Toys R Us, thinking there's no way I'm going to find any amiibo that I actually need to complete my collection. And this is why I walked in, okay? So I was browsing Canada's eBay listings, not the eBay listings in the United States, but Canada, because they are dirt cheap to buy amiibo on eBay if you're looking at Canadian sellers. So for whatever reason, I guess maybe Americans don't want to pay import charges, not that they will actually charge you, but anyways. So I noticed a lot of rare amiibo were dropping onto eBay Canadian listings, like Wii Fit Trainer, Villager, Little Mac, you name it. And I'm like, okay, maybe they actually released, you know, these amiibo again, like they said they would. And so someone maybe in Ontario is picking them up at, say, Toys R Us, and he's selling them on eBay. So I went to Toys R Us, and sure enough, I looked up, and there was a wall of amiibo that I've been looking for almost a year now. Dude, I got everyone. I got Ike, finally. Finally, I got Ike. I got everyone.
Seriously?
Everyone, I'm up to date on my amiibo hunting. Yes. They had dudes that I already owned. Like, I got the villager like a few weeks ago, but they had like 20 villagers. the Wii Fit Trainer, Little Mac. Who else did I have? Marth, Ike. They had everyone up to date. So I'm caught up, and now I'm kind of pissed off.
Why?
Well, because Nintendo promised they would re-release these amiibo, which they did. And here's the thing, the next day they were all gone. So basically scalpers are still buying them, and they're selling them on eBay. So it's still a problem with the scalpers, but they are re-releasing these figures. And by the way, there is a difference. I don't know if you guys noticed, there's a slight difference in how they all look. So if you look at the second wave, I guess you would say, or the re-release of each figure, they look slightly different than the original. So my Ike actually looks better than the original Ike. My villager looks different, slightly different than my friend's villager. But the reason why I'm pissed off is because the 8-bit Mario amiibo, as far as we know, is only available in the Wii U bundle. They haven't yet announced if they're going to sell it separately.
Well, because they have the two versions, one's going to be sold separately.
Hmm.
There's the retro-colored Mario, and then there's the modern-colored Mario. And I don't remember which is in the bundle.
I think the retro-colored Mario's in the bundle, which is why everyone wants it.
Mm-hmm. And someone's going to put it up on eBay for like $200.
This is what I'm saying. This is why I'm so pissed off.
Okay, that's not even what has me frustrated. Like, let me reread those dates and tell you how outrageous this is. November 1st, November 13th, November 15th, November 20th. Like, amiibo are really, really hard to get, and those are some cool ones, but there's no way I'm going to commit four different days of my life to go get all of those. Like, there's no way. I'm not going to show up first thing in the morning to a store so that I can get Well, no one wants the Mii Fighters. At least I don't. But I would love Mewtwo and I would love Mega Yarn Yoshi, but 2 days apart, why not on the same day? It makes no sense at all.
Okay, wait.
And it's just like random days being picked to release all of these.
You can't pre-order these amiibo?
Not in America, at least not yet. Last time for the retro characters, GameStop made an announcement that there was going to be a pre-event morning on a Saturday where you could line up. As soon as the store opened, you could pre-order it so that when they do release, you could have the pre-order and safely get them. But outside of that, no stores are taking pre-orders on amiibo anymore.
You know what? In the US. You know what? I got a funny story to tell you guys, too. So this happened 2 weeks ago, and I didn't talk about it on the podcast, but it was when they released a Dark Pit amiibo. Mm-hmm. So in Canada, actually, I think even in the States, the Dark Pit amiibo was supposed to be exclusive to Best Buy and Best Buy only. Exclusive, right? So it was the first and only time I actually woke up early in the morning to go to the store to get an amiibo, right? So, and I went to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning because I was working on the website because we have this new website that we are launching. And so I woke up like 4 hours later, went to the store, lined up. I was first in line to buy the Dark Pit amiibo. I get into Best Buy and sure enough, they never got the Dark Pit amiibo, which is supposed to be exclusive to Best Buy. Meanwhile, my nephew's friend happened to pass by. He went to Toys R Us and he got the Dark Pit amiibo across the street of Toys R Us. Do you know how mad I was? And by the time I got to Toys R Us, it was, of course, sold out everywhere. And EB Games, which is the equivalent of GameStop here in Canada, also got the Dark Pit amiibo. So I'm like, you guys are saying it's exclusive to Best Buy, and everyone that lined up at Best Buy wasted their time because Best Buy never, ever got the Dark Pit amiibo. And I went back the next day and the following day, and the guy who works there said, no, we never got it. We don't think we're going to get it. It's like so screwed up. And here's the other problem. Okay, so you're mentioning the dates in November, but you also got to remember that they're releasing the next wave all throughout September along with the Mario amiibo. Like, there's a bunch of amiibo being released in September as well.
In September 11th, yeah.
And so we're going to have, by the end of the year, we are going to have, I would say, 70 amiibo, which fits in with Super Mario Maker's magical number of 70, because there's 50-something characters in Super Smash, and you got to take into account Animal Crossing, Yoshi's Woolly World. I don't know if Star Fox is going to get his own separate amiibo. I'm not entirely sure, plus the Mario Party amiibo. It's a lot of amiibo, and they're roughly, at this point, like $18 to $20 a pop.
Still too much.
Yeah, it's crazy. So my biggest frustration is the bundles. Like, for example, they are going to bundle Duck Hunt and the Dog and Rob. And Mr. Game & Watch. It's going to be like a bundle. Mm-hmm. Man, that's going to make it even harder to get these characters, because then scalpers are going to go in. They're going to buy the package, which comes with all three characters. I'm not going to be able to get it. I'm going to have to go on eBay, and they're going to sell it for some outrageous amount of money. Like, that has me pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, I get that Nintendo doesn't have to fix this. They're making money, and they're selling out of their product, so that's good in terms of inventory. But this is just, like, tearing up fans' emotions and expectations. Like, it's just becoming such a mess that I think people are going to start giving up on amiibo, or at least I know I already have. I want Mewtwo, but then I'm like, I might be done after that. It's just too much work.
It just sounds like too much work. That's the thing. Like, listen, like, everyone knows, listening to this podcast, I've never been into this amiibo craze, but listening to your guys' frustration and stuff, I'm like, thank God I'm not crazy about amiibos.
I'm not huge into it either, but it's still frustrating because I know other people would like to get these, but
as a collector,
scalping heaven right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, as a collector's perspective, I can understand you guys' frustrations. I mean, I like to collect comic books, so I can understand your frustrations.
Yeah, but you know what? I collect comic books, and I collect DVDs and Blu-rays, and I've collected everything from Marbles when I was, like, 4 years old to G.I. Joe and Transformers, action figures, you name it, right? And so I've never had such a hard time in actually getting a product to complete my collection, even if it is hard to get. Like, even with comic book, I would just go to my comic book store, and I know the guy very well, and I would be guaranteed he would save me a copy of whatever comic in first print before it sells out. The thing about Amiibo is what the problem is, it's not Nintendo, it is the scalpers. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly think the only way we can stop this is if everyone stops buying Amiibo off of scalpers on eBay. That is the only way you can stop this.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. It's like some people are like obsessed to complete their collection, that they're going to go through any lengths to get these Amiibos.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, with the restocked inventories of both Japan and Canada and some of Europe, you can import these things for really cheap again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's all of the really rare ones.
But the thing is, even if you import it from Japan, it's okay, first of all, it's still a little bit more expensive. You're still going to be paying twice the amount. So it's still more expensive. But the frustrating thing, it's not even the price that bugs me. It's not so much the fact that they are releasing a bunch, because I don't have to, you don't have to buy each and every single one of these characters. What's frustrating me is the fact that, say, I wanted Ike for the longest time. It took me forever to finally get an Ike without having to pay $40 for one. Mm-hmm. That is what's upsetting me. And that is really like, and in all honesty, it's the scalpers who are to blame, but the problem started because Nintendo themselves didn't ship out enough product to begin with. So now, even with them restocking these figures, the scalpers are still going out and buying the product. And the problem is also the people who work at these stores. It's supposed to be one per customer. And when I went to Toys R Us, I ended up buying two of Ike. He didn't say anything, because I bought one for me and one for my friend. And I thought he was going to stop me at the cash, and he didn't say anything. I could have bought, you know, two of each or five of each. I don't think this guy knew the policy.
Well, you said you... Was your friend there with you?
Nope, I was by myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. I ended up walking out with like five Amiibo. Hmm. One for him, four for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I have every single Amiibo except for the next wave, which is coming out soon.
Yeah, and you've got a whole lot of sporadic dates on which to go get them all.
Oh my god, actually, I'm such a liar. I'm missing one Amiibo. I'm missing Peach. I never bought Peach.
Sexist.
It's because I got heavy Mario Party Amiibo also, and I just never ended up buying the Peach for Smash, like the Smash Peach.
That's funny.
Because I just don't like the way her Amiibo looks, so anyways.
You know who else might be getting an Amiibo? If rumors be true, then according to a European source, Shovel Knight might be the winner of the Smash Bros. Contest. Mm-hmm. Now, how many winners we're actually going to have is unclear. Whether this is a placeholder or not is unclear, but there was a spotting of a Shovel Knight Amiibo on a retailer's computer in Europe. So,
what do you mean a spotting? What do you mean, like an actual like
someone picture? Saw a picture?
Not a picture, but a release date announcement. You know how like at GameStop or EB Games or whatever, they have a list of when everything comes out. Mm-hmm. Apparently, at one of these did in the upcoming releases.
Well, when David D'Angelo, one of the creators of Shovel Knight, was on our podcast way back, I think on episode 4, mm-hmm. he talked about how much he really wanted Shovel Knight, the character, in the Smash game. And he went on Twitter and he was like, yeah, vote for Shovel Knight. So I wouldn't be surprised if Shovel Knight ends up winning. It would totally make sense because Shovel Knight is available on the Wii U. Mm-hmm. The game is brand new. People love the character. Releasing an Amiibo for Shovel Knight would be awesome.
Think about how great he'd be in both Smash and in Mario Maker. With his sprite form, he'd fit right in.
That is true.
It's just a logical choice. It's mm-hmm. a good way to go. All right, but along with all sorts of news, the rest of the dates are as follows. We got Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer comes out September 25th. Again, Yoshi, this is announced. Yoshi comes out October 16th. Fatal Frame 5 comes out October 22nd in mm-hmm. the U.S. And they announced that it's only eShop mm-hmm. and that it's going to have a free intro so that if you want to test out the game, you can download that, play the first two chapters or so, choose to buy it.
It's a playable prologue, I think?
Yeah, playable prologue.
Yeah.
We also have confirmation on when Star Fox comes out, and that is November 20th, which coincides with Falco's Amiibo release. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be more coming out throughout the holiday, but they're all still listed as holiday. outside of the dates already announced that you can find online.
Well, still, I mean, it's like during that span between now and the holiday, like there's quite a lot of things to look forward to for the Wii U. So,
yeah, there's almost like too much. I'm already like looking at my wallet, like,
So I mean, it takes us back to the beginning of our statement. It's like, well, go get a Wii U now.
Yeah,
we have a lot of things to talk about in the upcoming weeks, and it's gonna be jam packed. We're gonna finish our Mario series. We're gonna touch back on Star Fox. We got Yoshi's Woolly World. God, there's a lot of things that we're gonna talk about.
But I want to ask you guys: is anyone looking forward to Animal Crossing Happy Home Design there?
No, not.
I've heard relatively good things though that it has some of the best like home design features, which makes sense. But people are hoping that this is what's going to change the future of Animal Crossing, make it even easier to use.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to reach out to Nintendo and try to get ourselves an advanced review copy, and then one of us can maybe play it and test it out and come on the show and talk about it. But I can't imagine all three of us reviewing that game on the show. It just doesn't feel like the kind of game that you really need three people to talk about.
Wait for it. Dibs. All right, everyone, you have heard it here. Came his dibs.
But didn't you shut down the project when we talked about like in our E3 segment, our E3 special a couple of months back?
I was more trashing on the Wii U game, which they haven't.
Oh yeah, the board game.
Which I was a little harsh, but I'm not. There's already too much negativity with the Amiibo discussion. I'm gonna leave that there for now. I've been supporting Federation Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, go ahead and shoot your angry emails and messages now. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm excited about it, even if you're not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then finally, we can also talk really, really quickly that there are even more whisperings of potential movie deals with Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that turns into anything, these are almost always rumors, but Nintendo has said that they are more open to the idea themselves. So there is, I don't want to say hope, because I don't know if this is something I even want, but I do think that if fans are upset with Federation Force, a really rad Metroid movie might make it all better.
That's true. And I mean, it would make a lot of sense nowadays.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely the way to go. And there was a live-action trailer, a half-live-action trailer for Metroid Prime back in the day that everyone's found on YouTube and posted on every forum ever.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and look for that. It's something that I can imagine working, and I think it's probably our best bet for what would make an awesome movie.
Yeah, if they're going to pick one franchise to begin with a Metroid game, like, I can just imagine how it would look, something like Ridley Scott's Alien, for example. I think that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Miyamoto had an interview with Fortune magazine, and he was talking about the similarities and the differences between the two mediums. For example, video games is an interactive medium, whereas movies is a passive medium. And they are quite different. So although they have similarities, at the end of the day, they are very different. And so he said that if Nintendo decides to go into the movie business, like actually start making full-length feature films for their IPs, they just want to make sure they do it right. But lately, we've seen a lot of their characters popping up in a lot of Hollywood movies, for example, Pixels. And not just with Pac-Man, but apparently like Donkey Kong and Mario and a few more Nintendo characters cameo in that movie. So you never know.
And I think I remember Bowser being in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so they're being a little more open to the idea. So.
Exactly. And I think it's going to be a really smart move for Nintendo, because I think Miyamoto was talking about how he really wants Nintendo to be more open into diving into projects such as TV and film and so on and so forth, like comic books, and not just specifically video games. And I think it's a really smart move on their part if they do this, because, you know, it's like no different than Marvel making like $1 billion with each and every single one of their movies, and the comic books are still selling. It's not like it's hurting the comic book business. If anything, it's improving.
It's helping.
So that's something that we could look forward to. We could even do a future segment on what movie we would like to see come about from this with Metroid Off Limits, so that we don't all pick that. All right. I think that'll do it for our Nintendosage, more like our Nintendo overdosage, because that was a lot of news to get through. and our supposedly small segment. We're going to take a brief break and be right back for our main event.
Super Mario Maker is here. Now you can stack, combine, and change levels like never before.
Whoa. Want to play?
Imagine, create, and play your very own Mario levels. Anyone can make it. Everyone can play it. Super Mario Maker, only on Wii U. Rated E for everyone.
RPG, Super Mario RPG.
Role playing game, yatta koto nai hito mo.
Okay.
Mario to tabi ni deyo, dorama o tsukuro.
Role
playing game, yari tsukushita hito mo.
Come on.
Manzoku sase masu Mario desu.
Oh yeah.
Super Famicom Soft.
Super Mario RPG.
Super Famicom ga 4000円 yasuku naru kuponken tsuki.
Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our main event. This week, we are doing a discussion of the, I don't even know whether to call it a cult classic or just a classic, Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars.
I would call it a cult classic.
Cult classic? Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, it was a little underrated.
Yeah, well, it's not totally underrated. I mean, it did launch what eventually became Paper Mario. Before there was Paper Mario, there was this obscure game developed by Nintendo and Square. For those of you who are young and don't even know what Square is, it is now known as Square Enix, mm-hmm. post a combo of two big gaming industry companies.
Yeah.
So the makers of Final Fantasy and the makers of Mario got together and made this really, really unique Mario RPG. There's not really been anything that looks anything like it since then, but many people consider Paper Mario and the following Paper Mario series to be the spiritual predecessor to this game, though Square was in no way involved in that series.
Well, they did help with the design.
That's true. They did.
I mean, you look at the game. I mean, it screams Final Fantasy in some occasions. Well, actually, not some occasions. I mean, let's just say, like, the battle mechanics alone is basically Final Fantasy.
No, for Mario RPG, absolutely. It has Final Fantasy written all over it. In fact, you can see a Final Fantasy boss at one point in the game. So this is an interesting title. I personally, fun story for you guys, this is one of those weird games that I never actually played myself. This was in that weird era of my life when I was strangely content to just watch my friends play games. And so I would go over to my friend's house, the same friend that stood by Super Mario World to the end while I said that Super Mario 3 was way better. This same friend would play this game and I would just watch him progressively beat this game. And it was really, really captivating to watch it play out. And I remember just choosing choices with him because it's a turn-based RPG. So I remember helping him choose which attacks to use.
Yeah.
And we made it sort of a joint adventure between the two of us, picking which attacks to use and which areas to venture into. So that was a really, really fun period of my childhood. So I've never technically played this game. I never touched the controller while the game was on, but I've seen most of it. So.
Oh, wow.
No, for me, I was like naturally drawn. I mean, I don't know if everyone knows this, but like I love Final Fantasy. Like, I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan growing up as a kid. And for me, it was like I was naturally drawn into it. I'm like, oh my God, Square and Mario characters in a game together? I mean, who wouldn't? This felt like the Kingdom Hearts, like, now, if you think about it, back in the 90s. This would be like the sort of Kingdom Hearts take of the 90s.
And I do think there should be Kingdom Hearts Mushroom Kingdom as a real game. Well, I think that would be phenomenal. I would also be totally open to them bringing this as an actual entity back to.
Well, we kind of see still like the Super Mario RPG, like in the DS forms. I mean, like the Mario and Luigi games. So in a lot of ways, like, still.
Yeah, those do have RPG elements.
Yeah, heavy RPG elements. I mean,
and Paper Mario was very much an RPG as well, turn based. With some reaction-based gameplay, just to mix it up a lot. But this is the game that really launched that way back in, I remember this, May 13th, 1996, my fifth birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dudes, like, what do you get when one of the best RPG creators in the world decides to build an RPG game revolving around the most recognizable video game character of all time? You get one of the greatest games ever. Dude, I'm going to drop some F-bombs because this f-ing game is f-ing amazing. I'm dropping an F-bomb because when you drop a f-ing F-bomb, that's when people pay attention. If you haven't played Super Mario RPG Legend of Seven Stars, you got to do yourself a favor and play this. Yes. And or do what Tim did and sit down and watch someone play it. Holy shit, this game is amazing. I played this game last year when I actually got my Wii U because I bought it on the virtual game store, and it's because, you know, it's like on the Wii menu, right? So you can still access the Wii menu and still buy the games that were released on the Wii menu. Holy shit, this game is so good. You're talking about a game that makes grinding fun.
Yeah.
It does the impossible. It does the impossible. It makes grinding fun. No, how crazy is that?
To the game's credit, watching grinding is fun. Like I said, I contentedly sat on the couch next to my friend and just watched the game happen.
Well, exactly.
So artful, like play, so colorful.
Yeah, I mean, like, playing the game, like, it didn't feel much of a grind.
No, because it doesn't feel like a chore. Like the thing is my problem with RPG games is that often I feel like it's a chore. I feel like I have to continuously fight these little enemies, like not even bosses, just like dudes, in order to build my experience and or get currency in order to have enough
experience
to actually go out and fight a boss and actually win a big boss battle.
Yeah.
In this game, no, man. In this game, it makes everything fun. I like the fact that it has this original story and this original twist with what is usually like Mario has to go save Princess Peach from Bowser. In this game, it's not even Bowser who's the big enemy. In fact, Bowser helps you out. You get to play with multiple characters.
Yeah.
This Mario is huge. And you want to talk about characters. Why in the world have they not released Mallow or Geno in any game since? Like, what the hell is up with Nintendo? You want to talk about a character that should be in, like, the Smash series? Man, Geno!
It's probably because they're co-owned by Square Enix or something lame like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because there's a character from Fantasy VII named Geno.
Yeah, it must be something like that.
I don't know.
Well, I'm assuming it has something to do with, like, rights issues and who owns who character or whatnot, because, like, the fact that not only has Mallow and Geno not appeared in any game afterwards, but this is, like, one of the most original Super Mario games, period. And it's not even just the characters, but it's the actual entire world, the levels, the side quests, everything about it.
The design. It looks nothing like any Mario game before it.
The final boss, the big baddie, Smithy. Like, I'm just mind blown that they haven't actually followed up on this game, because you know what? Paper Mario, Mario Luigi, I understand that this is a spiritual successor, but that's the key word here. This is a spiritual successor. This came first and it is by far better. Yet we get like multiple Paper Mario games and multiple Mario Luigi games, but we've never had a follow-up to this game. So I'm assuming it's because of some kind of legal issues. But that is such a shame, because this game is so bloody good. Look, I love Chrono Trigger, but man, I would put this like right behind Chrono Trigger. I think this is one of the greatest RPGs ever. It's so colorful. It's so charming. It's got so much personality. Personality. This is what you need in an RPG. You need a game with personality. Way too often, RPG games now are so similar and therefore so boring, because you've seen the scenario play over a million times, over and over and over again. Same scenario, same story, same characters that all look exactly the same. This is completely different.
And speaking of the RPG genre in general, I don't know how often I've heard my best friend and co-host on this podcast, Came From the Moon, Ryan, say that he was really excited about a JRPG, but he was really bummed out that he was going to have to spend like 120 hours beating this game. With a game like this, I think only this game and Pokemon have managed the pacing of an RPG where you don't have to commit that much time into it. Like, you can experience the full game so much faster than that, but in such a satisfying experience. Like, you don't walk out like, oh, that was short, I want more. It's like the perfectly paced game.
I mean, it's how can I say it? Like, I think it's well, like you said, it's well paced. I mean, like, there's no grind at all. I mean, it's like, I was surprised at playing this game how easy it was to play it, because like coming from like a Final Fantasy background, like, you can't imagine the grind it takes to play these games, but this is so well paced and so well, I mean, it keeps your attention the entire time. Like it, and like Rick said, like in no way does this feel like any chore.
You can finish the game in a weekend if you're really experienced in RPGs. Mm-hmm. If you really want to have a lot of fun and really explore the game and do the side quests, you can finish it in maybe like a week, you know, unless you're going to stay on your couch for like 24 hours straight, and that's a different story. But I'm talking about like a normal person, right?
unless you're trying to do a speed run. Can we do a speed run?
Or you have to do a review of the game or something.
Yeah. But yeah, but even with a review of the game, like that's my problem with reviews. Like when people review games, they don't actually play the whole entire game. Like mm-hmm. they don't actually even complete it nor get halfway through the game and they write a review on it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what? But at the time, like a key difference between this game and a lot of RPG games was that the game is presented with a different perspective in the sense of it's isometric. Sometimes it's also called a three-quarter view, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it displays every environment at an angle, and it gives Mario the ability to walk or run in any of the eight directions, mm-hmm. which, you know, nowadays we take it for granted, but back in the day, this was like a game changer. So it was quite a change from scrolling left to right in, say, a typical Mario game.
Well, this is the closest we got to, like, 3D.
This is like, different from Final Fantasy, mm-hmm. where you're just kind of doing up, down, left, right, more than diagonal.
And everything was still pixelated in Final Fantasy, but this game, like, did 3D graphics.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was already late. And
not only that, but this is an RPG game which incorporates jumping elements. Like you can actually jump and do the normal moveset that Mario could do in the previous 8-bit gen games, mm-hmm. right?
Like I think that's just a sign of a great fusion right there, that you can still do the elements of the Mario game, mm-hmm. and they don't do away with that and leave just what they're used to and the turn-based.
Well, the thing is, they have to work really hard to make this RPG still feel like a Mario game.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hard work. And the thing is, like, Squaresoft developed the game. Like, apparently Miyamoto was overlooking the development, but they didn't really put their hands in and actually develop it. It was really Squaresoft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they handed over their iconic character, their mascot, gave it to Squaresoft, and trusted that they could make a game that would satisfy both Nintendo execs and we the players, and they more than succeeded. They created one of the best RPGs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of those RPGs that contain random battles.
No, you know,
I like Earthbound, I love that game, but mm-hmm. how often do you walk around in Earthbound and some like little snake bumps into you, you have to fight him? There's, you know, you can maybe run away, but the chances of you actually being able to run away are slim, so you have to stay and fight the character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same here in Super Mario RPG. You can actually walk around these characters if you don't want to fight them.
And talking about the jump, I mean, like that was to me, like the little thing like that was the great fusion of RPG and Mario, was that when you jump on the enemy, you kind of get like a sort of
a head start.
Yeah, like a head start, and which is very familiar in the world of Final Fantasy as well. And I thought that was a great sort of fusion together.
Also, when you do attack an enemy, so you have your basic attack, the strike, you can defend yourself, unleash a special move, etc., etc. But the thing is, there's timing involved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you press the attack button at a specific time, it'll actually increase the damage inflicted on the enemy. I don't think I saw that in any previous RPG game.
No, never. I mean,
like, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
You don't even see it now.
What? Yeah, kind of. some games do use
some,
that.
Some games bring it back, but they it's just like so rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like, if you haven't played this game, you know, think of an old school RPG game like Final Fantasy or Earthbound, except you're playing with Super Mario, Bowser, Geno, Mallo, and Peach, right? Yeah, Peach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sorry, I played this like last year, so I'm trying to refresh my memory.
Well, still called Princess Toadstool, though?
Princess Toadstool, yeah. And you do have like special moves, which is kind of cool. And there are side quests, and there's bonus games, which are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And again, colorful characters. Just the opening prologue itself is like awesome. Like, I love the fact that they put this original spin on the world of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the game looks good. By today's standards, looking back, I don't think it holds up quite as well as a game like Earthbound, because Earthbound was a little bit more simplistic, I think, in the sense that you know, you're designing like a suburb and there's like a house and a hospital. This game's a little bit more complicated. Like, the world's a lot more colorful. There seems to be a lot more packed within the frame, within each frame.
I don't know.
Still looks good, but I don't think it, like, I remember playing this game way back in the day, and it was kind of like, wow, this is mind-blowing for the time. Mm-hmm. But I think the key difference, like, I can't imagine a younger kid being blown away by the aesthetics, like, the look of this game nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in a case with, like, Earthbound, I think that because the game is so unique and unusual and quite unlike any other game out there, I think that's its advantage, right? Whereas mm-hmm. with this game, it is still centered around Super Mario and these characters that people are familiar with. So that sort of takes away the magic for someone playing it for the first time now in 2015, if that makes any sense.
Really?
But it is fun to see Mario out of his element, so mm-hmm. to speak. It's definitely Mario, but it's so aesthetically derivative and so separate in terms of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Paper Mario is still a 2D side scroller for the most part with like battles.
Right.
That's what Paper Mario is, and I love it. But this is something totally unique. Like, you already spoke about the angles. That alone is very unique. You don't see that too often in games.
No. Golden Sun kind of uses that. Not quite that angle, but behind, sort of like behind the back-ish angle, you know, not traditional in RPGs anyway.
And like, seeing Mario at this new angle, like, we had never seen Mario like this at all.
No.
So that was really exciting. Like, this is almost the first glimpse we see of Mario in a 3D realm. I would say 64 is more of the final format that we'll see him, but it's a tease of that, and it's very, very unique. But also just the world around him, like, this is the only time you're going to be able to see Mario's world in such a unique perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And with that unique gameplay, it's not terribly unique for an RPG, but with those timing mechanics, with the different turn-based mechanics, it's just a really, really different experience that you probably will never get Mario in again. I hope you will. But you might not ever get that again.
There are locations that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think ever popped up in any future Mario games, like Nimbus Island, for example.
No.
No, I think a lot of the locales stuck to this game.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, like, what I'm trying to say here is, you're totally right, Tim, but I think when we saw it back in the day for the very first time, it's different than when someone sees it for the very first time in 2015, because we do have games like Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario. So even though technically this game is different in every single which way possible, it's not going to be as shocking for someone to play this game for the first time. So what I'm saying is, you can play this game, you know, on your Wii U or on your Wii. Mm-hmm. You just have to access the Wii Virtual Console mode in order to play it. I think you can purchase it for like $7, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
You need a classic controller if you want to play it, though, on your Wii U or your Wii. I think the cast is the best part of this game. Like, mm-hmm. the characters. Like, we talked about the boss. We talked about the characters like Mallo and Geno. But there's so many fantastic bosses in this game, like Jagger, Jinx, Boomer, Manager, the Factory Chief. Just thinking back on all of the characters in this game, I think it's at the top of the list. There's just too many great characters to name to not put this at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
So many great characters. And of course, like I mentioned, there's the minigames, the look itself. You know, beautiful game. The soundtrack, oh my god, how could I forget the soundtrack? It's an audio file. It's like a wet dream. Mm-hmm. This is one of the best soundtracks for any Nintendo game, period. It's a double disc. They actually released it. You can buy it. I would recommend buying the soundtrack. It's incredible.
Which is done by Koji Kondo, obviously. Yeah. And a couple of tracks were done by Nobuo Uematsu, who also works in the Final Fantasy. Like, I love that man Final Fantasy series. Yeah.
Well, there's also Yoko Shimomura.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who did some work for Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So the game's music is composed by Koji Kondo, Yoko Shimomura, and
Nobuo Uematsu.
Exactly.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. No,
I've been pronouncing it wrong my whole life, but
I think Aaron pronounced it right. But yeah, so you have like three composers, the lady who composed a lot of music for, you know, fighting games like Street Fighter 2, and then the man who basically composed the music for all the Super Mario games, and then you have the guy who did the music for the Final Fantasy games.
Mm-hmm. Including seven, like you guys, the guy who wrote the Legend of Zelda theme and the Mario theme, working along the guy that wrote the Final Fantasy theme.
Yeah, that's like a powerhouse. And
Sephiroth's theme. Like, yeah. Like, just any song, pick any song from Final Fantasy VII, I'm sorry, and it's the best.
I know.
Like, Final Fantasy VII has the greatest soundtrack, but combined with the people who wrote the Legend of Zelda music and Mario's music, like, what? Yeah. That's unheard of. It's unreal.
Yeah.
That should happen every day.
This is like an all-star team. Like,
it is.
It's like an all-star like development team and an all-star composing team. Mm-hmm. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I mean, God, what happened with Squaresoft and Nintendo? Like,
well,
why can't Square Enix and Nintendo be on the same page?
I think it's just that they're just all concerned about their own ship, right? I mean, like, Square Enix not really worried now. I mean, like, they have their their successful franchise, Final Fantasy. They have their Kingdom Hearts thing. Like, they have their own little world now. I mean,
They had to get their ducks in a row, and I think that for a long time their Nintendo games were an afterthought. I think when Nintendo was the king, they were releasing all their games on Nintendo consoles.
Yeah.
As soon as they shifted towards discs, and that made it really easy for them to create really big games, it made it easier for them to then release their future content on Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, it's kind of hard to imagine them working with Nintendo unless they were again working with the Nintendo-owned properties, which is what I want.
They still do, though. I mean, like, Square came back to, like, GameCube a couple of years back, and it did, like, was it the Crystal Shards or something?
Yeah, and they have released some really good Kingdom Hearts games on 3DS and DS.
That's true. So, I mean, they still partner together, but I don't, in terms of, like, having a Super Mario and sort of Square game, I don't know. It's kind of sad, but who knows?
I just kind of feel like this game can be remastered or they can make a sequel for this game. And the thing is, maybe they shouldn't. Like, maybe that's actually a bad idea, because one of the things that makes this game so special, it's a one-of-a-kind, because they never made a sequel. They never made a prequel. They never made any sort of, like, follow-up.
No.
You know, so maybe not. Maybe that's what makes the game so special. But I just, like, this game has so many little surprises. Like, I mentioned the cast, the wonderful, colorful cast, but there's also tons of cameo appearances. Like, you want to talk about an all-star reunion?
Mm-hmm.
You meet up with Link. Samus is in this game. There's a character or characters that look like Donkey Kong. Not entirely sure if they are Donkey Kong. there's crystals from Final Fantasy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, is it the saves? I'm trying to remember. Like, do they still keep the save the same save crystals as in Final Fantasy?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, and you get the actual music from Final Fantasy as well.
Mm.
So the music heard is a cover of the boss battle theme in Final Fantasy. I'm not sure which Final Fantasy. I'm not sure if it was like 5 or 4.
I think it was 6.
6?
Okay. Yeah, 6, which is technically 3 in Japan. You know, but anyway. Yeah,
I don't want to even.
Yeah, I don't want to touch it.
The one with the clown.
Yeah. Which is 6. We'll just stick. We'll stick to North 6. America. It's 6. 6. It's 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even last week, I think we had a really, really good review of Super Mario 64, and we discussed a few flaws that we think the game has. For example, the camera system.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about me discussing those quote unquote flaws or my nitpicks based on that game, like, I think the game's amazing. Like I said, I'm still playing it, and it's going to be interesting for me to go back and have to rank each and every single one of these games in the upcoming weeks. I think we're doing it on September 11th when we do our big Super Mario Maker show, because I'm having a lot of trouble right now deciding which one's my favorite.
It's tough. Ricky, you always distinguish between what is the best and what is your favorite. I think Mario easily deserves that, and we should probably all go through what we think is the best and which one's our favorite.
Well, I think if that's the case, then what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to ask each and every single one of the writers at SOS to submit a list, and we could do a staff-wide list of what we think are the best games in a series, like rank them, and then we can each choose our favorite. So yeah. Okay. All right. So Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars, basically introduced Mario, the Mushroom Kingdom, and everyone else living in that Mushroom Kingdom into the RPG world of gaming. And I think it's a fantastic game. If you haven't played it, do yourself a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Definitely.
It is definitely 7 stars out of 4 or 5, depending on how you want to review it.
It's a fantastic game to play, especially on a winter break, you know, Christmas holidays. You got like a week or two, just want to kick back and relax, because it's not a frustrating game to play. No. It's not really difficult. It's just a lot of fun. Like, even Earthbound is a lot of fun to play, but it's a bit more time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, in this game, you don't have to encounter each and every single enemy you pass, because you can avoid them. You don't have to fight each and every single person. You can fight them if you want to build your experience and or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this has an easier entry level.
Yeah.
Too.
That was the word I was looking for. Entry level.
Yeah, it's very entry level.
But yeah.
If you like Final Fantasy, if you like Mario, if you like Paper Mario, if you like RPGs, this game is for you.
Definitely. I completely agree. I mean, it's like Tim said, like, if you love RPGs and everything, Final Fantasy, Mario, this is the perfect game. Perfect.
Awesome. I think that'll do it.
Here's the thing, okay? So in Super Mario 64, you have to collect 120 stars. In Super Mario RPG, you only have to collect 7 stars.
Which is part of the story, though.
I know, but you get help from Geno,
mm-hmm.
right, who basically is like a star man. Like, he's from Star Road. So why isn't Geno in Super Mario 64? They need to use this character, is what I'm trying to say. I love this character. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No,
Geno, man, he was like my dude. That guy was awesome. He's got such great offensive attacks compared to the rest of the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheCharmless6, and you can find me co-hosting a gaming podcast on ftwgamingpodcast.com.
Awesome. Ricky, where are you?
So I made an announcement last week that we will be changing our website as of September 1st. So starting next week, you can find us over at popoptic.com, and that is with a Q at the end of popoptic.
Popoptic?
Yeah, but we're not going to pronounce it. Okay.
Watch, okay. The next couple of shows, I'll do the intro, I'll say popoptic.
No, please don't. Over the years of podcasting, I've had many of our listeners add me to Facebook, which is all cool as long as you send me that message saying, hey, I'm a listener. I usually only post things related to movies or video games on Facebook, nothing personal, so I don't care if you add me. Twitter has of right now Sound On Sight, but again, that's going to change. You know what? Just head over to our website, soundonsight.org, because it's going to get redirected to the new website either way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Give us a rating on iTunes, share our podcast on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter. If you like what we do, spread the word.
And I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Free Mason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. You can also find me in the game section of soundonsite.org, soon to be popoptic.com.
Optic.
And you should keep an eye peeled there, not only for the launch of our site, but I am going to be talking about my time at PAX this weekend, which should be really exciting. Also, if you play Destiny, if you like Nintendo and Destiny, first of all, you're awesome. Secondly, listen to my other podcast, This Podcast Came From the Moon, which is all Destiny, all the time. It's awesome. And that will do it for this week's N-Express. Go out, go buy the Wii U, go out and go play The Legend of Seven Stars, and go out and have an awesome week. Talk to you next time.
as I outlined to you in your office, we would be very happy to have the chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.